We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I was going to talk again. Well, I'm sure you covered this a lot last week because it was Pentecost last week. Can you put up a scripture for me? Acts chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 to 3, sorry. We'll look at that. But even before we get into the word, I just want this word to be on top of everything we do this morning. Because I really believe we're living in a time where the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us, not in our physical strength, but in our spiritual strength. Because we're living in testing times. And I know some of you, I'm not sure how many of you actually went down to church day out last Saturday, Sunday, when it was gone for the whole weekend. And I've had some people from our church go down, we weren't able to go down. And it was all to do with the Pentecost. So I'm going to ask Connie to come and share a little bit about what it was that was going on around the world. Started in the States, as a lot of these things do. And then there was, in our country, the National Day of Prayer and Worship, NDOPW. They have been organizing a Pentecost pray and fast for several days leading up to Pentecost, and then a national gathering together, which we were involved in. So I'm not going to say any more. Come share, and I'll have a little rest before I come back.
Yeah, it won't take me long to share this, but did any of you hear about the Isaiah 62, 21 days of prayer? Did any of you know about that? Well, it was an initiative which we didn't find out about it until it was well on its way, but it was started by Mike Bickle from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City in America. And Mike had just had a dream or a vision or something, and he just felt the Lord say, I want you to pray for 21 days, fasting as well, fasting and praying. Not fasting and praying the whole time, but, you know, regular fasting and praying during the 21 days. For Israel. And he was shocked, you know, he just thought, okay. So he told his church, and the church said, well, if God wants us to do that, and let's do it 24 hours a day, and some of us will take this time, and some of us will take that time, and we'll run it so that we are literally praying 21 days, you know, 24 hours a day. And he was impressed that his church felt strongly enough to be able to do that, you know, and so they all wrote their names down and their prayer slots and all the rest of it, and when they would come and so on. And he was telling some other ministers about it, and the other ministers said, well, we could come and join you. Anyway, it ended up with how many million?
5 million.
I think it was 5 million people by the end of the 21 days had joined in all over the earth praying for Israel. I mean, that's quite extraordinary. Only God can do that. Yeah. It is quite amazing. It started with one church telling another church, who then told another church, and so on. You know, it was quite extraordinary. So, on the very last day, which was last Sunday, for 24 hours, they decided, IHOP, this is what they call the International House of Prayer, IHOP decided that they would, because there were so many countries around the world were praying, so many churches around the world were praying, they decided that they would like to do, to ask all the people around the world to prepare something for an hour. And so they took different sections of the world, and suddenly our church in Horsham got a telephone call and were asked if we would represent Britain and do 1 hour on the 24-hour chain, which was unbelievable. You know, we just didn't expect it. And so our pastor got very excited about it, and actually he and his wife flew out to America and weren't going to be there on that Sunday. So they said, well, we'll have to pre-record it. So the church all said, well, okay, let's all gather together. So we all came together on, what was it, Wednesday night or something?
Sunday before.
But it was Sunday before. That's right, it was after the Sunday service the week before. And another reason to do that is because all of our media team were going to be used down in Whiston at the big church day out, so there wasn't going to be anybody to record it anyway, unless we did it a week early. So we did it a week early, and it was amazing. I mean, the church really got on board, and they all came, and we just sang and praised God for an hour. And that's what our pastor Clive felt that we should do, was just praise God, because all the prayer had gone up, you know, over 21 days, and now it was time to really just exalt the Lord, and so that's what we did. And so for the last 24 hours, it's still on YouTube, you can find it, I can give you the links if anybody's interested. You can watch all the different parts of the world, the Chinese, the Japanese, the French, the Germans, it doesn't matter, they were all involved in this, and it was quite extraordinary. And then, of course, in Israel, on that day, was what we call Pentecost or Whit Sunday, but they call it Shavuot, and it means Feast of Weeks. And it's because since Pentecost they have been counting the number of days.
Since
Passover they've been counting the days for seven weeks. And it always finishes on the same day as Pentecost, which is amazing. So Pentecost's roots actually are in that same festival for the church all over the world. So in Israel, they then took up the baton and started to pray for themselves. And it's still going on. You know, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, that suddenly, all around the church, all around the world, the church is suddenly waking up to the fact that Israel needs our prayers.
Yeah.
And you know, I talked to you about Israel before, and it's something that God is doing, and you can't stop it once God's doing it, can you? It just happens. But the other thing is that, you know, in this country, We've got a ministry that you may not have heard of. It's called the National Day of Prayer and Worship, NDOPW. Most people call it the NDOPW group. And it started some years ago by a young man who had heard from God that he was to leave his home in Nigeria and come and live in England and to start praying for this nation. What a privilege that God should do that, you know. And this young man came when he was about 18 or 19. He's been here now for 35 years or something like that. And that's all he's done, is pray for this nation. And of course, God has linked into pastors and leaders and groups of people praying, and he travels around and brings prayer groups together, and it's amazing. And then God started to give him dreams and visions, and he kept seeing stadiums like Wembley Stadium packed with Christians who all came just to say thank you to God and worship him. And so a few years ago he decided he'd test that out, see if it was really God. So he took Wembley Stadium. And, you know, Wembley Stadium holds about, I think it's between 80 and 90,000, something like that. Well, he managed to bring in 32,000 Christians when God hadn't yet told him to do it. You know what I mean? It was amazing. So, and since then, he's been using smaller stadiums, and they've been growing and growing and growing. But this year, he felt the Lord say that, you know, he himself was going to release something special into this nation at Pentecost. So he encouraged all the people who were coming on Zoom to pray once a week for this nation to gather at Pentecost in small groups, big groups, didn't really matter, because Pentecost represents when God birthed the church in the first place, doesn't it? You remember that all the disciples were in the upper room, and then God kicked them out, and they were all in the streets, were they? And, you know, and what God said to him was, it's time for the church to be seen in the streets. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because this is what we've been doing, isn't it? You should be proud of yourselves, you know, here, because you've been doing just that, going out, giving out tracts, you know, going to sing in the streets and all the rest of it. And that's exactly what God is saying. So last Sunday, because we weren't going to have to do the singing on the Sunday, because we'd done it the Sunday before and recorded it, we all went out in the streets, and we went in groups of 20s, 30s, whatever, into open spaces wherever we could. And all we had to do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon was gather, and then at 3:15 on the dot, we sang a new song. Well, it's not a new song, it's the tune is
Abide
With Me, which I think many of you know is an old hymn. But the words have been changed as a kind of anthem for this nation. And I'll send it to you, Ruth, so that you can write it up. So the words are amazing, what God has said to sing over this nation. And if everybody knows the tune of Abide With Me, so you can just sing at home, you know, just keep singing. because he's going to bring it to pass. So we all sang this song, and then all we had to do after that was pray the Lord's Prayer, and then disband. Because it was like a, what do you call it?
A flash mob.
Yes, it was like a flash mob. Suddenly Christians all gathered in open spaces, sang this song where the people were, prayed the Lord's Prayer, and then all went home. So that's what we did last Sunday. And the figures coming in today are that there were, in this country, from north to south, east to west, over 8,000 venues, 18,000 venues where people did this, which is, again, something that I don't think has ever happened in this country before. At 3:15 on the dot, last Sunday, in 18,000 places, people came out of their churches to show the people, we are not in the building today, we're out for you, we're out in the streets for you. And I think it was a very powerful thing. And so obviously God wants to continue with us doing that as often as we can, to think of ideas to go out to the people. And I know that's already started here, and I just thought I'd encourage you with it, because it was, you know, something that on the same day as the 24-hour prayer for Israel, God did that very same thing when it was actually Pentecost showing up in Israel itself. And as you know, Israel's going to be the head of all the nations eventually. And so God is sort of moving his nations to come into alignment with all his plans and purposes, and to see as many people saved as possible in the time that we have now.
Yeah. The exciting thing about that really was, really, the church hadn't said anything about it. We were involved in the International Day of Prayer. We've had this for a long time. And the main prayer time was on a Thursday evening, same time that you guys pray here. I know that Basimara and Teresa have been meeting for a little while. And around about the same time, because it runs from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and they have 400 or 500 people gathering on a Zoom call, and led with certain things to pray for, but praying together for our communities. And I know that's what you guys carry in your heart. I carried on our heart for Rusper and Horsham and so on. Praying for God to do miracles amongst our communities. So it's easy enough, and we'll talk to Basimara and we'll talk to Teresa, give her the links, because it runs from 7 o'clock, finishes at 7:45. So you can be praying with 400 people, 500 people around the country on Zoom, and you get seen and pictures all there on the screen. But then you can stay on and then pray something as the Lord, Holy Spirit leads you to do. So you can start by just having this national prayer time, and then carrying on to just pray for Merton, because God loves this area. God loves Merton so much. He loves Rusper and he loves Horsham. You know, that's the thing. God is not he doesn't have favourites. They're all his favourites. You know, he hasn't got one favourite over any other. And he just loves people gathering together and talking and singing. I remember coming back from one of our preachers here in Redhill, and it was, I think, Ruth and Basim over here praying. And we walked in because we were given a time slot to be back here. And they were really going for it. And wow, it was so, walking in the door, I almost got blown back out of the door because there was such power going in the prayer. And because that's the Holy Spirit leading us in these days to pray. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you these We prepared these in our church a little while ago, so that when we go out in the streets, there's one about salvation, and I've given those to Steve to give out to people. But this one says, what does the Bible say? What the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? And you guys can take these with you too. But let's start by looking at a scripture, which I asked Tony to put up, and if he hasn't found it, it doesn't matter, because you will know the scripture so well. It's Acts chapter 2. It's what we've been talking about just now. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Shavuot, or as we call it, Pentecost. And remember, Pentecost was the birth of the church as we know it. It was the birth of the church of Jesus Christ, really. And it started off with all believers in Yeshua, who were Jews before, but now believed in the Messiah. And they recognized, well, we know Jesus is the Savior of the world, but he's also the Messiah of Israel, the one that they're waiting for. And you know, I have many jokes with Jewish friends that we have about, there is an ongoing joke which goes something along the lines of, when Yeshua, when the Messiah comes, the rabbis are going to run over to him and say to him, is this your first time, or have you been here before? And we know he's been there before, and he's coming back, and then he'll rule and reign, and he'll never leave them from that time onwards. But look what it says in Acts chapter 2 at the beginning. So remember, Jesus had spoken to his disciples and said to them, I'm going to leave you. But it's in John's Gospel, it says, it's better for you that I go to be with the Father. But can you imagine that? They've seen all that he's done, and he's saying, it's better for you that I leave you. And I think, no way, we're going to hang on to you, you're not leaving us. Because I go to the Father and I will release the Holy Spirit. But let's look at this, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord means they were united, they were dedicated, they were consecrated to one another. There was true unity. And doesn't it say in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it goes to the last verse, said, there he commands his blessing of life forevermore. So, but remember, they were fearful. They had gone off and locked themselves in the upper room because suddenly this great Jesus, who they never expected to leave, he thought he was going to, he was going to fulfill all the promises for Israel in the land, and they would be freed from the Roman conquerors and all the rest. Suddenly he gets crucified. Even though he had warned them it was coming, they didn't understand it. I don't think I'd have understood it. But he said, I'm going to be crucified. And on the third day I'm going to rise again, I'm going to be alive again. You think, I didn't want to see it. I'll be a doubting Thomas. I'm sorry about that. But God can pray for me. So it says, they were with one accord in one place. And then suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I don't know how many people here speak in other tongues. If you do, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. If you don't, it doesn't matter. It's a gift, so you can ask God and he will give it to you. So they were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then look what happened. They went out. And Pastor Clive was saying the other week, when he was reading the scripture in one of our prayer meetings, he was saying, this is what it was. Why did they have the fire and that rushing wind, the sound of the wind blowing through them? The fire was to ignite something in them. And we need to be ignited again. We need to be fired up in these days for what God has on his heart for us to do. Because I don't know if anyone else feels the same as me. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but it really feels like things are hotting up. Mm-hmm. When you look around the world, if you follow Matthew 24 or Luke 21, where it talks about the end times, the things that are happening, there's wars, rumors of wars, there's division even in families, there's famines, particularly in Africa and so on, there's a lack of food. There's earthquakes, my goodness, the earthquakes in Turkey that happened, and Syria that happened recently. But, I get a Jewish news report, comes out of America really, but it tells about things going on all around the world which never get reported on our news. You know, like, for instance, there was an earthquake in California. And you know, they are expecting the big earthquake at some point, but this was at about 3.3, so it was like at the beginning of rumblings, you know. And there are earthquakes going on all over the world, which you never see on the news until it happens, like a major one, like Turkey, Syria, where thousands, tens of thousands get killed. So these things are happening, and you can see this happening in our lifetime. So, but it's not to make us frightened. You know, because it talks about that in Luke 21, verse, and said, when you see all these signs, lift up your heads, because your deliverance is coming soon. So it's not a case of, no, what's going to happen? You know, is my house going to fall on top of me and all this sort of stuff? Don't worry about things like that. But just be alert. The thing that we need to be alerted to is being a people of prayer, because that is what we're called to do. We're people who share our faith, take every opportunity to go out. So this is what happened here, and that's what Pastor Clive said. The fire was to fire us up again in our faith, because we can get comfortable. I mean, I get so comfortable, and I don't see myself as an evangelist. I really don't. I'm a teacher, pastor, I'm a preacher, but I know the Great Commission, and this tends to be something I talk about everywhere I go. The Great Commission is for all of us to obey, to go out and take every opportunity to share our faith, and the promise is that signs and wonders will follow when we share the word. But this is what Pastor Clive was saying. He was saying that the fire was to fire us up again, get us back to the foundation of our call as believers. You know, you're not saved just to go to heaven. Because if that was the deal, we wouldn't be here. We'd all be in heaven now, having fun with Jesus, dancing around whatever, you know, down the gold gates or whatever. But we're left here because there's work to do. And if we don't have the heart of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus for the lost, we are missing a whole foundation of our faith. So we are here not only to be fired up for the lost, but then to go out. Because that the rest of this chapter 2, they went out into the streets, and these were the guys who were frightened, hiding, because they were expecting the Romans to come and take them and do the same to them as they had done to Jesus, you know, maybe crucify them or put them in prison or flog them or whatever it might be. But the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were changed. Totally changed in an instant. And Peter goes out with the disciples, and they start to preach in the streets, and it says thousands were saved. And they were speaking in their language, but the people were understanding, because this was a time, it was the month Shavuot, was one of the three festivals where all Jews were required to come into Jerusalem. Passover, Shavuot, and Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, were the three, when it says in the Old Testament that all men were meant to come to the temple. Other times, they could be praying and doing meeting in their synagogues and their groups together, but this was the time of the world. So they were coming from every part of the world, speaking different languages, because there were Jews in so many parts of Africa as well. And they were hearing this man speak, and they were understanding in their own language. I mean, that's a great miracle. How important was that? But that's why the whole reason for receiving the Holy Spirit, it talks about in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, doesn't it, where you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples in preparation for what was going to happen, and they didn't understand. I mean, I wouldn't have understood, you wouldn't understand, what is this power he's talking about? They'd seen it in Jesus, but he said, you're going to get it, you're going to have it, and then it came upon them. And it changed them in an instant, and they went out, and people being saved. And this is what Peter's sermon was all about in verse 14. Well, let's go down to verse 17. 16 says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, immediately Peter was relating it to the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit. Out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And it goes on to talk. It's a long quotation straight out of Joel chapter 2. And it convicted the people so much that they were basically saying, what do we do to be saved? How do we get saved? And I believe God is wanting us to understand this is the same power that is available to us in these days. I mean, I'm getting excited already about September the 1st when we have the next Quality Street event down there, because it was amazing last year. I don't know how many of you were able to come to that. But literally, we had a team of, I don't know, 10, 15 people.
We'll be in Israel.
Sorry? We'll be in Israel. Oh, yeah. But I'll send a team, even if I'm in Israel, I'll send a team. Yeah. I'll be praying for you from Israel, okay, from Jerusalem. I forgot about that. But it was tremendous that we gave out New Testament, we gave out hundreds of tracts, and people were just so excited, you know, they were so excited that to receive something for free, for a start, and to receive the encouragement of the Word. So, what I wanted to ask us today is, what does the Bible actually say about the Holy Spirit? How was Jesus actually training or preparing or equipping his disciples for the Holy Spirit? Now, if I'd given you, you'd be cheating and looking at it. But how did he describe the Holy Spirit? Anyone, you can just shout out. You know, it's a lot of it was in John's Gospel. Talking about him being a teacher. We talked about him being the one who will abide in you, who will abide with you, a comforter,
healer.
Yes. So many ways he let me just, I'm missing some of these, which you can look at later. John 14, verse 16. Holy Spirit is the helper. He will abide with you forever. So not for a single moment. Will he not be abiding with you? What does it mean, abiding? It's living with you. He's living in you. Verse 17 says, he is the Spirit of truth. And this goes on to say, the world cannot receive him. So people outside of believers cannot receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, the interesting thing is, in Romans 8, it says that all people what's the word they use? A piece of a measure. That's it. Well done. A measure of the Holy Spirit. And so we all start with the same measure. And you know, Mark chapter 11, Jesus talks about, in verse 22, he talks about have faith in God. And he talks about the mustard seed faith. That, you know, that little portion of faith, the mustard seed is so small, can move a mountain if you believe, if you do not doubt. And the thing is, when you have that measure of faith, if you do start to use it, it grows and grows and grows. And it's as effective, and it has a cause and effect. So, you know, that spirit that the world cannot have unless they ask, unless they come and accept Jesus. And we are the ones who need to be carrying that option to them and saying, you can have the power that raised Jesus from the dead. They may not believe in that, but they must hear the word in order to be able to choose. Verse 17, Spirit of truth, world cannot receive it. So it's an exclusive gift to believers. Amazing gift to believers. Verse 26 says, somebody said this earlier, he's our teacher, he's our helper. He will remind us of the things Jesus said in verse 26. John 15, verse 26, he will be a testifier. He will testify of Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 13, he will guide, so he will be a guide for us. He speaks what he hears. I thought this was interesting in that same verse. He speaks only what he hears the Father speak. And didn't Jesus say that about himself? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say it. I only speak what I hear my Father speak. So he's like a real reminder of the things Jesus did and said when he was on the earth. So that's all in John's Gospel. John 14. I mean, that's not exclusive. You could find a lot more. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary with great power from the highest. So the Holy Spirit carries the great power from the highest for us, as he did for me, as he did for Mary. Chapter 3, verse 22, the Holy Spirit, we all know the scriptures, when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, and we are Mercer and Baptist Church, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism. And Luke 11, verse 13, the Holy Spirit is a gift to anyone who asks. Very important. Chapter 12, verse 12, Luke also talks about him being a teacher. Mark chapter 1, verse 8 talks about, again, the baptism of Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Mark 13, verse 11, the Holy Spirit speaks through us. So I mean, that's an important reason why we should be out and about. Because each one of us has the Holy Spirit in us, so we can hear ourselves from the Holy Spirit. But when we go out, He will speak through us to others to bring them into the power. Now the other thing about the Holy Spirit, and you know, we read about it in Acts chapter 2 in the other times as well. In Acts chapter 2 when it first came. But remember that it wasn't the only time that the disciples received this Holy Spirit. Because remember in I think it's Acts chapter 4, when they get arrested for doing good things. Why were they arrested? In Acts chapter 3, John and Peter pray for the lame man at the temple. He gets healed and starts dancing and praising God. And the religious people didn't like it much. Not surprising, they didn't like it because they felt threatened by it. And so they arrest Peter and John, and they take them in and they give them the interrogation, give them a real hard time, and basically say to them, "You're not allowed to use the name of Jesus again," and threaten them, and it's tough. It's a tough thing, but they said, "Well, it's better for us to obey God than to obey man." So they were basically saying, "We're not going to stop." And the threat was, if you don't stop, next time you'll be thrown into prison, you'll get flogged and all the rest. But in verse 31, and previous verses, they were released because the crowds actually saw that this lame man, who they knew was a lame man and had been lame for many years, had been healed. And they're thinking, well, how can you be arrested for healing somebody? You know, it's like arresting the doctor who saved you from whatever disease you had, you know, because you've done something good, let's arrest him and put him in prison. So they realized there was a threat against them if they did something like that from the people who had seen the miracle. So they released them, and so they kind of, let me have a little read. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, well, listen, you don't have to go there. And it basically says, the name of Jesus is forbidden. So when they came back together, they gathered together and they prayed this wonderful prayer. Lord, you are God. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose, was determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look down on the threats that they make, and grant your servants with all boldness they may speak your word. See, they were feeling threatened, but they realized that God is greater than the threats of man. So they gather and they ask God, we need another outpouring of your Holy Spirit. So speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. So they were filled again. It's just a couple of chapters down. Don't know how much time passed between it, but they were filled again with the Holy Spirit, and the place where they were assembled shook. You know, you can say, oh, it must be an earthquake. No, this was the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And they got what they asked for, because they said, we need to be bold. We need to be able to speak boldness. And what did they get? They got the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I think of another scripture in Acts chapter 16, I think it's verse 25-ish from there on. Similar sort of thing happened with Paul and Silas. Do you remember the story? When again they were arrested because they were sharing the gospel, and they were shoved in prison, they were beaten up, you know, they were scourged, whipped and all the rest, and shoved in prison. And you know, how easy in a situation like that it would have been to feel sorry for yourself. But in verse 25, I think it's verse 25, definitely Acts chapter 16, it says it was midnight and Paul and Silas were worshipping the Lord. Worshipping and praising the Lord. So they weren't looking and thinking, oh my gosh, my back hurts, I reckon it's whipped and all the rest. They just lifted their eyes and started to worship the Lord. in the midst of this situation. And what happened? Similar situation again. Earthquake. Shaking. God on the move. And the prison doors shook. I wonder if that'll happen with Diane Jesus today. The police said we were looking for these prisoners and we're running amok. But the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And what happened as the end result? The jailer who had put, he'd have been the one who probably initiated or at least made the whipping and scourging happen to them, he cries out and says, "What have I just said?" And he and the whole household outside. It's amazing. Amazing what God's doing in the streets and in that time. But he's doing the same thing now. I was thinking of a couple of other really good scriptures and situations. Maybe that'll be for another time. But let me just show you something else. I don't know, do you guys get the Heart magazine? It's actually set up, it started off in Sussex by a friend of us, and somebody who was in our church some years ago, was part of the Bible school and has now moved out and is based in Worthing. And it started off just telling stories about things that were happening, miraculous things, testimonies of what was happening in Sussex. And then suddenly people started to get this and telling stories about things happening in Yorkshire and Surrey and so on. And so it was basically a newspaper that went out every month, now I think it's every 2 months. And it just tells amazing stories. But look at this, the front line, this has just come out for June, July. A small team of local Christians is regularly seeing miraculous healings. Wow. Small team. Just three of them going out together regularly. People getting healed. The main headline is, "A blind man sees again." Wow. And it doesn't need tens of thousands of people going out there. It just needs a few people willing to go. And this is what, you've heard the stories I've told you. You've seen it happen here in the streets, people getting saved when they've just been coming in one-to-one conversation with people. Mm-hmm. Sussex, in Crook, is it Crookley, Sussex? Or is it? Sorry, yeah. I'm not sure. It's right on the border.
Well, isn't it?
It's Sussex, isn't it? But we go there every month now. We take a team. As I said earlier, we started with just three of us. It was Connie, myself, and Jerry George. Three of us went out in the streets just before Christmas, and we were giving tracts saying Happy Christmas to people. And even then, it was, in 2 hours we gave out something like 800 tracts into the hands of people. And then we went the following month, we decided we were going to do it as a monthly thing. The second month we went out, there was also chaos going on in the square. But six people got saved.
Amen.
Two people got healed. And this is just people like you and I. We weren't, sitting there with a cross and, speaking about the cross. We were just one-to-one talking to people. People gave their lives to the Lord. The next time, we suddenly had 18 people come and work with us. And it's been growing ever since. Last week, the third month, we got three people saved in the streets.
Yeah.
People were opening up. The fourth month, which was last Saturday, not yesterday, but Saturday week, two people got saved in the streets. And the numbers are now 15 people, and not just our church. I mean, the comments talking about last Sunday when we went into Horsham, and if any of you have ever been to Horsham, there's a sort of main square, and there's a main shopping area, and TK Maxx, and Dunnell, and big Safeway, Sainsbury's down the bottom there. And that's where the Lord told us to set up the big coffee shop to the right of the temptation for us, but we resisted in Jesus' name. But we started with 12 people from our church who said, "Yeah, we'll come up with you." When we got there, there were people from all sorts of other churches, from different areas, from Southwater, which is sort of further south from Horsham, it's a district of Horsham. And we ended up with 30 people in the streets, singing, praising, declaring, because that was the other thing, to spend up 15 minutes as concert, singing the song, praying the Lord's Prayer, and then just declaring blessings over our community. And we handed that, and for us, I thought, great opportunity. You guys are not going after 15 minutes. We're going to stay on here and give out tracts. So they were out there giving out the tracts that we give out here in the streets here in Redhill. Redhill, 3-4 weeks ago, I think it was a week before we were in Crawley, I couldn't join them. A small team went out from Horsham because it was one of our grand
sons.
So, and you met that with them?
We met 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And again, another two people got saved from the
net.
Yeah. And what I found out was there was a church called the Potter's Church or something.
Yeah.
And they had about 10, 12 people singing in the street. So it's like, you know, we started to do something, but other churches are getting inspired and realizing the place we need to be more effective than we are in the church is outside of the church.
Yeah.
Because here, the thing we need to do in the church is encourage one another. The thing we need to go out of the church is go out as a strength together and take the gospel in whatever way. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, you've got a Bible, you need to be saved, or you've got a house. Yeah, it doesn't need anything. It's truth, that is the truth. But it just needs to be the love of God. It's the love of God that brings conviction. It's the love of God and the commitment of His people that draws people to you. You know, doesn't it say that in the Bible that if we lift Jesus up, the Holy Spirit draws men unto Him? And that's what we need to be doing more and more in the streets, because signs and wonders follow. It's like this terrific story, you know, just three guys going out together, and they're not young. Probably one of them may be having an evangelist anointing, I don't know. But they go out in small numbers, just obeying the Great Commission. People are listening, people are hearing, and they're coming and saying, can you pray for us? I'm sick. You know, I've got this wrong, I've got that wrong. Or something as major, one man, much, you know. That's incredible, what a story that makes. But if you guys are interested in getting the Heart magazine, I can get our friend to send you some copies every couple of months when they are released. They don't charge for them. They just want to encourage the body, really, by telling the story they're going. Funny enough, I was looking at the back of this, and one of Brian's old churches advertising it. Sanford Church Christian Centre, where he was before he went off to Norfolk, Sheringham, and he's here for 3 years. So they are advertising the paper. But I mean, I believe what the Lord is wanting to do today is for us to ask Him. Pour out your Holy Spirit again. What can we do? How can we do? We're not asking, you know, we're not asking for you to be raging down the streets every day of the week, but there's some little thing that the Lord can give us in our hearts to do that would turn the hearts of people very much. And it's happening. I mean, you know, we've got the September event. I mean, last year I remember we did something before, when we did a pre-gathering like we did not so many months ago. We gathered here, we went out into the streets again, gave up tracts, and it was almost like preparing the way for the September 1st Property Street event. So maybe we can think about how we can gather again and do something similar here. We're going to start doing Horsham probably next Saturday as well, going on the streets. And I met up with a pastor last night from Horsham and his wife, and they were saying, yeah, we'd love to join in. Because we're not, and I say this when we're in Crawley. Yes, we have a Crawley Kingdom Faith Church, but we're not telling people you must go to Kingdom Faith. You must get to heaven, it's not the because, you know, don't die without Christ, because there's one sure thing that happens if you don't receive Jesus, you go to hell. I mean, no one likes to hear that message, and a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in heaven, anyway. I don't believe in heaven. Well, you know, one day we'll find out whether you are right or I'm right, or whether you're right or Jesus is right. Because Jesus talks about hell. You know, the parable when Abraham goes to hell and calls out and says, send somebody to just put a bit of water on my tongue because it's so hot down here. And Jesus says, there's a chasm, no one can come through. So he says to him, look, can you send an angel to my family, my brothers, my sisters? Because I don't want them to come down here. He's experienced what hell is all about. So hell is real. And I know there's certain denominations that try to say, well, hell is just when you die and you never see Jesus, you never go to heaven. But, you know, it was that age, Jesus would have said. So we need to understand and share and have a heart to reach out to people. And you can only do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I think we're going to finish now, but let's just spend a couple of minutes. I'm going to sing, Come Lord Jesus, send pour out your Spirit today. It's a chorus. from a normal group to
no people to shame from.
So Father, I thank you that right now as we cry out to you, pour out your Spirit in this place, Lord. I pray also, Father, that you prepare the hearts of the people in verse, Lord, who do not know you. And Father, with the labor that will come across their pathway, that will speak your name and love them, and they will come to know, they will be attracted, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, there is a process in every life, Lord. Every man, woman, child gets that opportunity.